This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Riyad Razazi, welcome you all to our final episode of the Sira series, Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today, inshallah ta'ala, as I mentioned, will be our final episode. And it will be, inshallah ta'ala, we always end with some emotions, with some tears. We've been, we've launched this series several months back. It's 50 lessons so far, right? So today is our 50th lesson. And today is our final session from the Sira series, Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I've got people on Facebook and I've got people on Instagram. Jazakum Allah khair all for joining. Wa alaikum salam all of you, wherever you are. You're all welcome. Those of you who've just joined the series, this is it's a series called Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All the sessions are recorded and stored on Facebook, on Instagram, and on my YouTube channel. You can always go back and watch them, inshallah ta'ala. All the sessions, all the previous series as well. So we started in November 6th, mashallah. 5 months, Allahu Akbar. 5 months. It took us, almost half of a year, subhanAllah, living with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, right? So my dear brothers and sisters, Zakum Allah khair again for joining. For some of you, those of you on Facebook, I cannot read you, but yesterday took some time before I can read your comments, but keep on typing. Those of you on Instagram, welcome. Yesterday, brothers and sisters, those of you who missed that session, I summarized the whole series for you. And we derived lessons from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And today will be our final session talking about the farewell Hajj of the Prophet Muhammad and talking about his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So let me just maybe type something here. Death of the Prophet. And see maybe if that would launch the comments on Facebook. Here we go. All right, brothers and sisters, let me quickly recapitulate, the lessons we derived from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. I mentioned about 13 or 12 lessons so far. We talked about, the first lesson was that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam was a strategic thinker. We talked about, we learned about, being a planner, planning. We learned about being proactive. We learned about sabr. We learned about patience. We learned about sacrifice. We learned about perseverance. We learned about training. These are all lessons that we learned from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. As the Sahaba, they got those trainings, the very first Sahabis who embraced Islam, they went and they took that course, that training course from the house of Dar al-Arqam, so this is where the Sahaba used to meet, and it's like a madrasa for them. It was a madrasa, where the Prophet used to teach them Quran and others. We learned about coexistence from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, coexisting with people of different faith. We talked about that Islam is the religion of peace, not blood. The example was, there are so many examples. The conquest of Mecca was not even a single blood being shed. Whoever says Islam is the religion of sword, we say Islam is the religion of peace, not sword. We talked about the role of women. Women, they played an integral role in the life of the Prophet alayhi wasalam, in Islam in general. Women were present, be it in as murabbiyat, in their homes or in the masjids or in even in the battlefield, You know, women were always present, and they played an integral part in the in this role. You know, in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in propagating the message of al-Islam and conveying the message of al-Islam. We talked about this deen is the religion of, you know, some people, they perceive Islam as a religion of extremism, whereas Islam is not only the religion of peace, but we can have fun. You know, there is fun, halal fun. You know, the Sahaba, where they were, you know, singing and, you know, this poetry, you know, poems when they were building the trench, you know, they were, you know, reciting poems. And the Prophet Muhammad was, you know, we participated with them, alayhi salatu wasalam. So, art, science, anashid, you know, Islam is not just, you know, merely sitting in the masjid and praying and reading Quran. There is more to Islam than just, you know, what happens in the masjid. You know, Islam is a way of life. Islam is a way of life. Be it that you are in the masjid, or you are at work, or you are at school, or you are in the street. Wherever you are carrying the, you know, a message. You are a da'i. You are a da'iyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, also one of the lessons that we learned from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, Islam, when the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, came with that mission to unite the ummah. So Islam is the religion of unity, not disparity, is the religion of uniting people, uniting the ummah, uniting mankind, not of causing, you know, disparity amongst one another. Islam is also, we learned from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, these main akhlaq, the main characteristics, you know, of reform. When we talk about nahda, an-nahda, you know, to like this big reform, we talked about truthfulness, we talked about al-wafa, loyalty, we talked about al-iman, you need faith, and you talked about hope, you know, not to never lose hope, to never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talked about respect, you know, and we learned about respect, you know, in the from the lessons from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, to respect the opinions of others, you know, to listen. And the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam was a great listener, and he used to share and listen to opinions coming from, you know, the Sahabis. You know, the example maybe that we gave yesterday, when in the Battle of Badr, when they went, you know, and they camped, you know, they got first into that battlefield, and they camped in the Prophet, and someone came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, is this place where we camped, is this revelation, you know, or is this something that we could use our, you know, discuss it? And the Prophet says, no, this is just what I think, you know, was the best place to, or the best, location for us to camp. And then the man says, Ya Rasulullah, we should camp, you know, by where the water is, by where the well is, you know, so that we can have water. Quraysh will come, they will be thirsty, but will be here, you know, and controlling the well. So the Prophet Muhammad took that opinion, right? And he changed the location of where the camp or where the army was camping. So again, respecting others, taking opinions and assessing, you know, these opinions and studying them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, three more lessons I would like to share with you that we learned from the seal of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. With this nahda, this renaissance requires a leader. And there's so many traits of leader, of a good leader. Prophet Muhammad was a leader at home. He was a leader in the masjid. He was a leader outside. You know, he was indeed, you know, and this leadership traits, you know, may not necessarily, you know, you're not born with these traits. You can learn them. You can teach them, yes, but you can learn them. You can learn these traits and try to adapt to them, right? So, you know, what are the qualities or what are some of the traits of a leader? One of the traits of a leader is someone who can listen, right? Who can pay attentive, who is attentive, na'am, and pay close attention to little details. And also someone who's proactive. And we talked about Prophet Muhammad being proactive versus reactive. He wasn't reactive. He did not wait for things to happen for him to react or to act. Prophet Muhammad was proactive, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, my brothers and sisters, another amazing quality for this Renaissance to happen. You know, yes, we need to, you know, we need to have that leadership skills. Also, al-iman, huwa dafi' lin-najah. You know, there's some people who fight for different causes, and they fight because of their, you know, what they believe is right, or what they believe is, you know, maybe the truth. So your iman, your belief, will fuel you to become, to excel in any project that you undertake. The fact that you believe in the cause, right? So, you know, whatever the cause is, you have to be passionate about what you, you know, fighting for. If you're not passionate about what you fight, be it like a project that you're running, be it your masjid, or be it at work or whatnot, you know, if you're not passionate about your vision, about that cause, you will not be going to be able to be productive as much, right? So, al-iman, you need to believe in the cause and fight for it, inshallah ta'ala. And last but not least, and these are maybe, I kept it, you know, these couple, this qualities I'm going to mention, you know, at the end, are crucial into the, you know, Reformation and Renaissance. Ar-Rahma wal-Hub, mercy and love. Mercy. You cannot be a leader if you don't have rahmah, if you don't have mercy. Whether you're a wife or husband, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, a manager, you know, a director, you know, whatever you are, an imam, you need to have rahmah. You need to have mercy and love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So many people, they claim they love Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And we gave examples about truly, truly loving Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. The true love that the Sahaba had for the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We talked about a lot of examples, like the example in the Battle of Badr. The example of Ibn Ghaziyya. Sawad ibn Ghaziyya, you know, the man who the Prophet poked with his sword, and then he came to me and says, Ya Rasulullah, you hurt me, and then I need al-qasas, I need my right, I need to, you know, hit you back. It's a very well-known story, I mentioned that. And then as the Prophet took, you know, his shield off, and then the man, he rushed, and then he kissed the belly of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We talked about, you know, when the Prophet used to make wudu. And as he was making wudu, the Sahaba, they were, you know, jumping and grabbing the, you know, that water, that what we call in fiqh, in Arabic, al-wadu. Wudu is the fact of making wudu. The wadu, with fatha, wadu, is the water that we use in making wudu. So the Prophet, when he was making wudu, this was that, you know, that water that came out from, or the spirin or whatnot. The Sahaba, they used to jump and grab that wudu, and then, you know, and putting that wudu you know, on their faces, on their bodies, is the barakah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? So much love, the love of Umm Habiba, when her father came to sit on the bedding of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and then she rushed, and then she folded it, and she says, no, you're my dad, but Rasulullah, and you're not a Muslim, you're najas, you're not pure. And this is the bedding of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So they really, really portrayed so much love of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are some of the lessons that we learn, you know, learning about tawakkul, learning about, you know, the true meaning of putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning about patience, learning about perseverance, learning about, you know, loyalty, learning about sacrifice, learning about, you know, respect, learning how to, you know, treat your wife, and how to treat your husband, and how to treat your kids, and how to treat your brothers, even how to treat your enemies, even how to treat your enemies. All lessons that you could learn from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So today, brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad is 63 years old. How old is he? 63 years old. Are you guys with me, brothers and sisters? Those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram, are you all joining? Are you all with me? Because this is it. Khalas, I'm on into the final episode of Walking with the Prophet, the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. So are you guys with me, sisters and brothers? Because I just gave a quick, you know, preview of what we talked about, like a summary of what we talked about yesterday, and summarizing the whole Sira for all of you, right? Especially those who just joined us for the very first time. Now, I'm going to start officially, and you know, our Sira program, I mean, not start officially, but our final episode, the emotional death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So brothers and sisters, today Prophet Muhammad is 63 years old. The 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the year is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. How old is he? He's 63 years old. So he now has intended to make his Hajj, what we call the Hajj al-Wada', the final Hajj, the farewell Hajj. Prophet Muhammad had only one Hajj. According to the most authentic opinion, he had only performed one main Hajj. He did perform Umrah, but before, we talked about that before, and then now he wants to perform his Hajj, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خرج معه مئة ألف, 100,000 Sahabis. Imagine people coming from everywhere. They heard Prophet Muhammad is going for Hajj. They never seen the rituals of Hajj, the actual Hajj as per the deen of Al-Islam. Because people before Islam, they used to perform Hajj. They used to do Hajj. But Hajj at their time was different than our Hajj, of course, because they used to worship idols. They used to go around the Kaaba and perform Tawaf. But they used to perform Tawaf naked. They used to perform Tawaf naked, and they used to go and clap their hands when they used to go around the Kaaba. They used to go and clap and perform Tawaf naked. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam never performed Tawaf naked, even before Islam alayhi salatu wasalam. So now that the Prophet has announced he's going for Hajj, people started coming from everywhere, different tribes, 100,000. As he was coming out, stepping out from Medina, and Aisha radiallahu anha, she was helping Prophet Muhammad, you know, take his bath, changing, right, to get ready for his Hajj. A delegation from Yemen called Hamadan, was coming, you know, approaching Medina, led by Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu ardah. So Prophet Muhammad said, سيأتيكم أهل اليمن أرق أفئدة الإيمان إيماني والحكمة يمنية. He says, and أهل اليمن, people of Yemen are coming towards us. الإيمان يماني والحكمة يمنية. الإيمان is from Yemen and Hikmah is from Yemen. Allahu Akbar. People from Yemen, they love this hadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. They love it because Prophet Muhammad says, Al-Iman Yamani. Iman is from Yemen, and Hikmah and wisdom is from Yemen. And then he points with his hand towards those delegation coming from Yemen, the people of Hamadan. They came, they embraced Islam, and they went with Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam to perform the Hajj, Hajjatul Wada' with the Prophet Muhammad. وَيَقُولُ الْإِيمَانُ هَا هُنَا الْإِيمَانُ هَا هُنَا. And he was pointing also to his chest saying, Iman is here, meaning Iman is in the heart. But yes, brothers and sisters, Iman is in the heart. Can I ask you questions, those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram? Can I ask you a question? Oh, yes, I can. So the question is, can I just say Iman is in my heart and I don't have to pray? Can I say Iman is in my heart and I don't have to wear hijab? Can I say Iman is in my heart and I love Allah and I don't have to read Quran? I don't have to give zakah, but I'm a mu'min. Iman is right here. Iman is here and I love Allah and I love the Prophet. I don't have to wear hijab. And I pray when I can, but I love Allah and I love the Prophet. And Iman is right here. Al-Iman fi al-qalb, na'am. Wa saddaqahu al-amal. الإيمان ما وقر في القلب وصدقه العمل. This is what the scholars say with regard to Iman. الإيمان ما وقر في القلب وصدقه العمل. Iman is something that is actually, you know, it sits in the heart. نعم, it resides in the heart. But how can you prove that someone is mu'min? وصدقه العمل. What makes it, you know, what proves that this Iman is strong? What proves that this Iman actually يعني, is practical is when you take action. You can just say, Iman is right here in the heart. whereas you don't act upon what that which is in the heart. The actions, they have to portray those feelings of Iman. The actions, they have to represent, you know, those feelings, that which is in the heart. So you can't just say Iman is right here. I don't have to prove to no one that I'm a mu'min. Iman is in the heart. No, ya Habibi. No, you prove to yourself. Nam. I can't just say Iman is in my heart and I sit home and I don't have to pray. But I love Allah. Wallahi, I love Allah. Wallahi, I love the Prophet. And I don't have to wear hijab and I don't have to pray. And I don't have to read Quran. And I don't have to pay zakat. I don't cheat. I don't lie. I don't commit haram. Well, akhi, you don't pray. That's haram. You don't wear hijab. You don't proper cover. You know, that's haram. Oh, absolutely, it's haram. Right? So Iman is definitely, you know, it's a feeling. It resides in the heart. But your actions will portray that which you feel, that Iman. So the Prophet used to say, Al-Iman huwa huna. Al-Iman is in the heart. Al-Iman is in the heart. And then Prophet Muhammad goes out into Abar Ali, you know, in that boundaries, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then after he took his bath, and Aisha was there helping Prophet Muhammad, assisting him, he took his bath, alayhi salatu wasalam, trimmed his mustache, alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, and then trimmed his nails, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he put some perfume, some atar, alayhi salatu wasalam. Took off his clothes and put his ihram, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he prayed tolaka'ah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he proceeded, the sahaba came out with him, and then they started making a talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma hajj wa umrah. You know, he made that talbiyah for hajj. And of course, umrah, as they combined them together, alayhi salatu wasalam. He combined Hajj and Umrah. But then he told the Sahaba to do Hajj Tamattu'. He told the Sahaba to do Hajj Tamattu'. What is the difference between Tamattu' and Qiran? The three types of Hajj. Maybe inshallah one day we'll give you, you know, a particular seminar or a webinar on, you know, on Hajj and the pillars of Hajj and whatnot. But just to summarize it, there are three, you know, when it comes to Hajj, the three types of Hajj. Ifrad, Qiran and Tamattu'. Ifrad is when you do Hajj only. Qiran is when you combine Hajj and Umrah. You do Umrah, and then you keep your clothes on, your ihram on. You don't remove it, you keep your ihram on until the time of Hajj, and then you proceed for Hajj. That's what the Prophet did. But then you have the Tamattu' Hajj, which the Prophet ﷺ encouraged the Sahaba to do. What is Tamattu'? You do Umrah. And once you're done with your umrah, you take off your clothes and you put on your clothes and then you're fine, but you still are there with the intention of performing hajj. Once the time for hajj comes in, you know, and then you put on your ihram again and then you proceed towards Mina and Arafah for hajj. So it's called tamattu'. So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he made his talbiyah to do hajj. And then he moved on, proceeded with the sahaba, raising their voices with talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk لا شريك لك. Jibreel came down telling Prophet Muhammad, Ya Rasulullah, tell the Sahaba to raise their voices with talbiyah. Every stone, every tree, every pebble, every corner, everything that hears your voice making talbiyah will witness for you on the Day of Judgment. Tell the Sahaba to raise their voices with talbiyah. So the Prophet told the Sahaba, raise your voices with talbiyah. Raise your voices making talbiyah. And everybody started saying, Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. All the Sahaba, imagine 100,000 Sahabis, 100,000 all raising their voice, you know, from Medina to Mecca, raising their voice. I would imagine 100,000, you know, like a huge, you know, the confederation or the huge army, you know, all walking, riding, saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika lak labbaik, with their voices out loud, men, women, children, everybody saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, until they reached Mecca. Until they reached Mecca, the Sahaba, they said, by the time we reached Mecca, we lost our voices. We lost our voices. And then Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, as there were more people joining and more people joining, people could not see him no more. People could not see him no more because he was riding as well his she camel al-Qaswa. So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he stood on the Qaswa. He stood on top of his camel telling people, Ya ayyuhan nas, khudu anni manasikakum. Oh, you people, take your rituals from me. Learn as I do and do as I do. Learn. The Sahaba, they were not asking questions. Prophet Muhammad was saying, khudu anni manasikakum. Take your rituals from me. Copy as I do. Do as I do. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes to Mecca. He enters Mecca. He enters and then he stops Talbiyah as he enters the Haram. As soon as he enters and he saw the Kaaba, they stopped Talbiyah. He uncovered his right hand, you know, shoulder. Then he put, you know, and then he started making tawaf, alayhi salatu wassalam. After they finished the tawaf, he went towards al-Zamzam. He drank from Zamzam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he prayed two rak'ah behind al-Maqam Ibrahim, behind the Maqam, the station of Ibrahim. And then he started making duha, a long duha. Praying, drinking, and as he was drinking, he was also washing his face from Zamzam, pouring water on his head with Zamzam, pouring, and all over his face, pouring. And the Sahaba, they're doing exactly what the Prophet was doing, because Prophet Muhammad was saying, do as I do. So they were doing the same thing, copying Prophet Muhammad and mimicking him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he was making dua, and after he made dua, he went towards al-Safa wal-Marwa, reciting, Inna al-Safa wal-Marwata min sha'a'ilillah, faman hajja al-bayta wa'tamara fala junaha alayhi an yattawwafa bihima, wa man tatawwa'a khayran fa inna allaha shakirun alim. And then he goes to the Mount of al-Safa, and then he faces the Kaaba. And as he faces the Kaaba, he raises his hand. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk, wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. La ilaha illallah wahdah, nasara abdah, wa hazama nasara abdah, wa azza jundah, wa hazama al-ahzaba wahdah. And then he started making long dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he proceeded from al-Safa, and then he goes to al-Marwa, goes to the Safa al-Marwa. Then when he reached al-Marwa, he again raised his hand so high, and then he said the same dua, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk, wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. La ilaha illallah wahdah, nasara abdah, wa anjaza wa'dah, wa hazama al-ahzaba wahdah. And then he raises his hand, making long dua, long dua, long dua, long dua. And then he did back, forth, back again to Safa, back, Safa al-Marwa, 7 times, alayhi salatu wassalam. And then he was there, alayhi salatu wassalam. The Sahaba who were doing tamattu', they shortened their hair. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, you know, waited until the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. And after the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, he proceeded towards Mina, alayhi salatu wassalam. And then he went to Mina. And after Mina, the 9th of Arafah, so he prayed Dhuhr, he prayed Fajr, you know, and then he went to Mina, he prayed Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isa, shortened, alayhi salatu wasalam, he shortened Dhuhr and he shortened Asr, he shortened Maghrib, there is no shortening of Maghrib, there is no shortening of Maghrib, and then he shortened Isha, alayhi salatu wasalam. He prayed Fajr again in Mina, and then he proceeded towards Arafah, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Then in Arafah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes in and he makes that very famous khutbah, that very famous sermon. Ya ayyuhan nas, isma'u anni wa'qilu, fa'inni la adri la'alli la'arakum ba'da aami hada. Oh, you people, listen and focus. I do not know if I'm going to see you next year. Oh, you people, hear and focus. Focus about what I'm about going to say. فإني لا أدري. I do not know whether I'm going to be able to see you next year. أتدرون أي شهر هذا؟ أتدرون أي يوم هذا؟ أتدرون أي بلد ها أي بلد هذا؟ He says, do you know what month is this? Do you know what day is this? Do you know what country is this? What town is this? قالوا هذا الشهر الحرام. They said, this is the شهر الحرام. This is the sacred month. البلد الحرام. This is the البلد الحرام. Because ذي الحجة, ذي القعدة, ذي الحجة. These are the sacred months. Right? Muharram, Rajab. These are the sacred months. And then ذي القعدة, ذي الحجة. These are the sacred months. So he said, do you know what month is this? Do you know what day is this? Do you know what town or what country is this? This is the month of Al-Haram. ذي الحجة. This is the day of Al-Haram. This is Arafah. And this is البلد الحرام. البلد الحرام. You know, يوم عرفة. Then the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام says, فَإِنَّ دِمَاءُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالُكُمْ وَعَرَاضُكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا. And then he says, now he's talking about the sacred, when we're talking about the month, the sacred month, and the sacred day and the sacred place, he's saying, your blood, your wealth, your families are so sacred, like the sacredness of this month, this day, and this place. Compare and contrast. He's likening how sacred that month is, and how sacred the day is, and how sacred that day, that place is, to the importance of the blood, the importance of the ard, your dignity, and the importance of the wealth. That you know, blood. The killing one another in haram in Islam. The blood again, the sacred is so sacred as the sacred of as how sacred is the month of Ramadan, the month of the Hijjah, and how sacred is the day of Arafah and the place of Arafah. And then Prophet Muhammad says, Al-Muslim lil-Muslim, Al-Muslim ala al-Muslim, haramun damuh wa maluh wa irduh. The Muslim with the Muslim, his wealth is made, the Prophet has made it haram. Yani Allah has made it haram, you know, to kill one another, to steal one another, to disgrace one another. It is haram. You know, to steal money from one another, to kill one another, the dam. And they're talking about those Muslims killing each other, blowing up one another, blowing up others and whatnot, killing each other. The Prophet says, Ad-dam is sacred. The blood is sacred. And the ard, the dignity is sacred. Your wealth is sacred. Don't steal from one another. Don't kill each other. Respect the dignity of one another. Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqu Allah fi nisa. And then he says, fear Allah in women. Feel Allah about women, ayyuhan nas. Feel Allah. اتقوا الله في النساء. فإنهن أسيرات عندكم. He says, they are like prisoners of war living with you. They are like prisoners living with you. نعم, at the time, you know, women, you know, they, Islam came and gave them their dignity and gave them their freedom and, you know, نعم. So, but still, you cannot compare that time to this time, right? So when the Prophet says these women, who had nothing. A lot of them, they used to live with their parents or whatnot. So they left everything and then they joined to live with you. He says, take care of your women, take care of your wives. They left everything to live with you as if they are like a prisoners. You know, those prisoners, you know, they are masakin. They have nothing. So you take care of them. You be good to them. You serve them and look after them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أخذتهن بأمانة الله واستحللت فروجهن بكلمة الله فاتقوا الله في النساء. He says, you took them. How did you marry them? You married them. It's أمانة. بأمانة الله. In Islam. واستحللتم فروجهن بكلمة الله. How have they become halal for you? You know, to be intimate with them. To be intimate with them, you had this contract. In this contract, when you said, I do. Before you said, I do, you know, the imam or the sheikh, he says, you know, to marry this daughter of so and so under the, you know, the sunnah, the sunnatullah and his prophet, you know, in front of this witness and that witness and with this dowry, and you said, I do, you said, I accept, you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was your witness. The witness upon that contract is Allah, other than the two witnesses, right? So the Prophet is saying, you, their furuj, their intimacy has become halal to you be with one word. You know, when he said, I accept, la ilaha illallah, because Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, is before you. So he says, fear Allah and take care of your wives, take care of women. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In ayyuhan nas, innama al-muslimuna ikhwa. And he kept on repeated, all you people, the believers are brothers. The believers are brothers. Remember when the Prophet went to Medina, alayhi salatu wasalam, Medina was, you know, segregated. There was war in Medina. War that took, that lasted for so many years between the Aus and between the Khazraj, you know, in Jahiliyyah. People used to live in Jahiliyyah. Prophet came, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Islam came and united them. So he kept on saying, the Muslims are brothers. The Muslims are brothers. And today we say the Muslims are brothers, be it in whatever they are, in Pakistan, in India, in Rohingya, in China, in Iraq, in Yemen, in Syria, wherever they are, the Muslims are brothers. If my Muslim brother or sister in China, she's feeling pain, I should feel that pain. Why? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Muslims are like, you know, organs to one another, like pillars, you know, like one organ. If one, you know, if a part of your body feels pain, the entire body feels pain. You know, this is how we should be as Muslims. And so the Prophet Muhammad kept saying, innama al-muslimuna ikhwa. Muslims are believers. Muslims are believers. Ayyuhan nas, inni mukathirun bikum al-umam yawm al-qiyamah, fala tusawwidu wajhi yawm al-qiyamah. He says, all you people, all you Muslims, I'm proud. I'm bragging about you in the day of judgment. I'll be bragging about you in the day of judgment that this is my ummah, this is not my nation. My nation is coming, you know, more in numbers. All the other prophets will be coming with their numbers, with the nations, but my nation will outnumber all the other nations. Oh, I'll be bragging about you in the day of judgment. So do not embarrass me in the day of judgment. Do not embarrass me in the day of judgment. As if he was saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayyuhan nas, إنكم ستسألون عن يوم القيامة فهل تشهدون أني قد بلغت. Prophet Muhammad says at the end, oh you people, you shall be questioned about me on the day of judgment. Would you witness that I have conveyed the message? Look, he's prophet and he wants to hear it from the Sahaba. You shall be questioned about me on the day of judgment. Would you witness, would you testify that I have conveyed the message? And then those hundred thousands of people, they start saying, نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتْ نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتْ. We testify and we witness that you have conveyed the message. Imagine 100,000 people all going with the Prophet for Hajj. They all started screaming out loud, we shall witness and testify that you have conveyed the message, that you have conveyed the message, Ya Rasulullah. وَأَنَّكَ أَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةِ وَنَصَحْتَ الْأُمَّةِ نشهد أنك بلغت الرسالة وأديت الأمانة ونصحت الأمة وجاهدت في سبيل الله في سبيل دينك. So we would say that you have conveyed the message and you have fulfilled the amana, the trust, and you have given admonition, you know, to the people. نصحت الأمة. You have given advice to the nation. We shall witness and testify that you have done all the above, Ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet Muhammad, he told, Ya Rabi'a, أصرخ بها مرة أخرى. Oh Rabi'ah, tell them to tell me. Tell them. أتشهدون لرسول الله يوم القيامة؟ Oh, ask them, will you testify for Prophet Muhammad in the Day of Judgment? Because all the prophets, they will be asked. All the prophets, they will be brought and asked who will testify for them. The nation, Nuh, and everybody, all the prophets, they will be brought and the nation will be asked. Has your prophet conveyed the message? So Prophet Muhammad now is asking one more time his people, would you testify and witness that I have conveyed the message? Would you? And then one more time, أتشهدون نعم we shall. And then Prophet Muhammad raised his hand to the sky and then he says, Allahumma fashhad, Allahumma fashhad, Allahumma fashhad. Oh Allah, you witness. You are my witness. Oh Allah, you are my witness. Oh Allah, you are my witness. All of them have agreed and testified that they will testify that I have conveyed the message. And then after that, the final ayah was revealed. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. سورة المائدة, verse number 33. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today I have completed your religion and I have fulfilled my grace upon you. ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. And Islam is your religion. Abu Bakr started crying. This ayah, he says, was revealed on the day of Arafah, on Jum'ah. Allahu Akbar. Abu Bakr says, this ayah was revealed on the day of Arafah. It was a Jum'ah day, it was Friday. When the Prophet took that testimony from the Sahaba, the ayah was revealed. Today, أكملت لكم دينكم. Today, I have completed your religion, which means خلاص. There is no more command, no more fard, no more sunnah. Everything has been completed. Prophet Muhammad has conveyed the message. There's not a single thing in Islam that the Prophet Muhammad has not taught his nation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has taught us everything, alayhi salatu wasallam. Abu Bakr started crying. He knew that was the end of the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Prophet Muhammad comes down from Arafah. He goes to Muzdalifah. 100,000 people, you know, follows him. They follow him after Arafah in the Maghrib time. You know, before Maghrib, he went into the Jabal al-Rahmah. And then he started making dua from Asr until Maghrib, making dua sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ad-du'a Arafah, Yawmu Arafah, Al-Hajj Arafah. Hajj is the day of Arafah. So you have these masses and masses of people gathering there on the day of Arafah, all raising their hands on that day. And then right at sunset, Prophet Muhammad proceeded towards Muzdalifah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after he reached Muzdalifah, you know, he started, you know, he prayed Maghrib and Isha, and then he went to sleep, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He woke up, and then he proceeded towards Al-Mash'ar al-Haram in Muzdalifah as well, where he prayed, Fajr, and after he prayed Fajr, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stayed there, making dhikr and dua until sunrise, and after sunrise, he proceeded towards Mina. You know, he picked up his pebbles from Muzdalifah, and then he went and then he threw the pebble in Al-Jamarah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right? He threw the first pebble sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then after that alayhi salatu wasalam, he offered his sacrifice, you know, and shaved his head, proceeded towards Mecca alayhi salatu wasalam. But when Prophet Muhammad went to Mecca one more time, he collected the people, those 100,000, he asked them, Ayyuhan nas, ayyu yawmin hadha? Oh people, what day is this? The Sahaba, they kept quiet. Those 100,000 or so, they kept quiet. They thought maybe Allah has changed that day to another day, or the name of that day to some other name. They kept quiet. فَمَكَثَ طَوِيلًا ثُمَّ قَالَ أَلَيْسَ هَذَا يَوْمُ النَّحْرِ? Isn't this today the day of sacrifice? Which is the 10th of the Hijjah. The 10th, this is the Yawm al-Hajj. Al-Hajj al-Akbar. Why it is called the greatest day of Hajj? Because on that day you do the you throw the pebbles, you offer the sacrifice, and then you shave your head or shorten it, and then you go to Mecca to perform Tawaf al-Ifada. So you do the majority of the rituals of Hajj, you perform them on that day. So the Prophet asked the Sahaba, what day is this? The Sahaba, they kept quiet, say, maybe Allah has changed the name of this day. Then the Prophet says, isn't this the day of sacrifice, Yawm al-Nahr, the day of Hajj? The 10th of the Hijjah is the day of Hajj. قُلْنَا بَلَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Indeed, Ya Rasulullah, it is. And then the Prophet says, which month is this? Which month is this? And again, the Sahaba kept quiet. Then the Prophet says, أَلَيْسَ ذُو الْحِجَّةِ Isn't it the ذُو الْحِجَّةِ? Isn't ذُو الْحِجَّةِ? They said, بَلَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Yes, Ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet says, أَيُّ بَلَدٍ هَذَا What town is this? أَيُّ بَلَدٍ What town is this? The Sahaba kept quiet again. Then the Prophet says, أَلَيْسَ بَيْتُ اللَّهِ الْحَرَامِ Isn't this the بَيْتُ اللَّهِ مَكَّةَ الْحَرَامِ They said, نَعَمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Indeed, it is, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ And then the Prophet Muhammad, عليه الصلاة والسلام, he goes to perform the tawaf, عليه الصلاة والسلام. And then he goes and he held into al-multazam. Allahu Akbar. He held into al-multazam. Al-multazam is that place between the black stone and the door of the Kaaba. Between the black stone and the door of the Kaaba, right? It is called Al-Multazam. He went and he put his body against the wall. Not any wall. You see, sometimes people, you know, they're just holding on the cloth or putting, you know, their bodies against the wall. Nah, not any wall. Particularly the wall between the black stone and the door of the Kaaba, the gate of the Kaaba, that is called Al-Multazam. So he goes and then he puts his body against that door and then he cries and makes dua and he cries and makes dua. It is called Al-Multazam. And then Umar, he saw Prophet Muhammad doing that, so he came closer and he started doing that. And then Prophet Muhammad told Umar, yes, cry, O Umar, yes, cry, O Umar, make dua and cry. This is one of the best places to make dua, whereby the dua is granted at that, you know, particular place. Allah. And then he goes back to Mina and he stayed there for 3 days doing the jamarat every day. The first jamara, the second jamara, and the third jamara. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He does all the jamarat, throwing the pebbles, you know, and then he comes back to perform his tawaf al-wada', his farewell tawaf. He collects the Sahaba one more time. He collects the Sahaba and then he gives his another speech. What does he say? This is where the Sahaba will start crying and weeping. What does he say? What does he do after he performs Tawaf al-Wada'? I thought that today will be our final episode, but it came to be that no, I won't be able to finish it today because we just talked about the farewell Hajj of the Prophet. And now we need to talk about him coming back from Mecca and what's going to happen to him when he goes back to Medina after he falls sick. So, I will not be able to finish the seerah today. I will finish it tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala. The Prophet collects the Sahaba. He gives his another sermon. What does he say in that sermon? And then after he comes back down, when does he go back to Medina? What is the first thing that he does when he goes back to Medina? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What will happen there? Insha'Allah ta'ala tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, we will officially again complete the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the emotional death of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Jazakum Allah khair, dear brothers and sisters, those of you on Instagram and those of you on Facebook, thank you so much for joining. May Allah bless you all. May Allah reward you all. One more time, remember to sign up for the webinar, the Ramadan webinar, which will be on the 10th of April. Please check out my social media on Instagram, on Facebook. about, you know, the way, the link where you can sign up for the 3-hour webinar on Zoom about Ramadan. Make sure you do that, inshallah ta'ala. Sign up. Very, very, very limited spaces. I cannot have more than, you know, I have a very limited space anyway. So please do sign up before it's too late. Before it's too late. And then I don't want you to feel regret and sorry that, oh, I missed it. Oh, I missed it. I don't want you to feel sorry that you have missed it. So go today, right now, and sign up, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much for being here. Tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, we will resume and complete our, you know, seerah, talking about the death of the Prophet Muhammad. Jazakumullah khair again. Thank you so much, Instagram. Thank you so much, Facebook. May Allah bless you all. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair.